about, author of a new study that shows how the moisture that trees move through their roots, trunks, and leaves helps keep the planet cool.
And it is 10 a.m. You are tuned to KBOO Portland. And coming up, as you just heard, will be Air Cascadia, followed today at 10:15 by Locus Focus. And then at 11 on Health Watch, Dr. David Naiman speaks with Dr. Norman Doidge about the brain's way of healing, remarkable discoveries and recoveries. And at 11:30, it's Madness Radio, voices and visions from outside of mental health. And here we have a message before we go to our first piece.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Organicology Conference, February 5th through the 7th at the Hilton Hotel in Portland. Organicology is an interactive educational conference designed to meet the diverse needs of the organic community. Organicology offers workshops, speakers, and intensives designed to advance knowledge for seed producers, farmers, retailers, educators, chefs, food policy activists, and eaters of great food. Again, that's Organicology, February 5th through the 7th at the Hilton Hotel, 921 Southwest 6th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Volcanoes erupt from climate change. That and other stories for the week ending February 1st. I'm Jamie Sudler.
I'm Franny Halperin, and it's This Week in Water. Iceland is on the rise, and we're not referring to its economy, which, to be fair, is doing quite well, thank you, due to a booming tourist industry.
We mean it's literally going up. According to researchers from the University of Arizona and the University of Iceland, glaciers are melting so fast that parts of the island are rising as much as 1.4 inches a year.
Put another way, as the island's ice shrinks, the land pops up, similar to a trampoline once a person jumps off.
This latest study concludes that global warming is to blame and that the melting is happening at a faster pace than first thought.
If that weren't distressing enough, the researchers believe the extra uplift could be behind an increase in volcanic activity.
The researchers point out that the last time Iceland's glaciers got thin, about 12,000 years ago, its volcanic activity leapt 30-fold. China is facing a water crisis, and part of the solution is to transfer water from the south to the north by massive aqueducts and diversions. But China's thirst is seen as an opportunity for at least one company located far away in the Arctic.
The firm, Arctic Ice Cap Water, is hoping to export water to China and Indonesia. The company takes chunks of icebergs from a bay, melts them, and then bottles the water in, of course, plastic bottles.
There are other companies that are bottling Arctic waters for export, including Icelandic Glacial, Iceland Spring, and Snow Water. And the selling point of all these brands is purity.
In other news related to the Arctic, last week the Obama administration announced that it will propose protecting about 12 million acres in Alaska from fossil fuel exploration.
Obama said that the area is pristine and undisturbed. Not so, however, for regions off the Atlantic coast. 2 days after the Alaska announcement, the administration said it would sell oil and gas leases offshore from Virginia to Georgia.
fish populations in Africa's largest lake are declining, which is jeopardizing the livelihoods of 2 million people.
Last week, a report by Mother Jones examined the causes for the decline in the number of fish like perch and tilapia in Lake Victoria. The causes appear to be overfishing and climate change.
Overfishing could be controlled if the local government enforced catch quotas. But in addition, some scientists believe that rising temperatures are a cause of the decline. A study of Lake Tanganyika concluded that warming waters resulted in a 30% drop in fish.
Lake Victoria is different from Lake Tanganyika, but it's hard not to draw the same conclusions. Meanwhile, some areas of the region have lost up to half of the full-time fishery workers.
The Environmental Protection Agency is tasked with protecting the waters of the United States from pollution and degradation. Last year, the agency released a proposed rule that could include wetlands and ponds in addition to the obvious rivers and streams.
Recently, the EPA released a little-noticed study called Connectivity of Streams and Wetlands to Downstream Waters that supports a broad interpretation of what it should be protecting.
The study concludes, among other things, that streams, regardless of their size or frequency of flow, affect downstream waters. Also, wetlands can have an impact on other waters, even when they may not be connected.
These conclusions may seem self-evident to some, but last week, Republicans, joined by some Democrats, introduced a bill to limit the EPA's definition of waters of the U.S. Representative Paul Gosar, a Republican of Arizona, issued a release saying that the EPA's proposal would be a blatant overreach by the federal government.
We close today with something really cool, literally. Check out the freezeway proposed for Edmonton, Alberta.
Skip skating around in circles like you would at a rink, Matt Gibbs has a better idea. As part of his master's thesis, he decided to reimagine how people might get around his hometown and proposed trails that would be for bikes in the summer and skaters in the winter.
The temperature in Edmonton sits below zero for about 5 months of the year. While some may view that as a reason to hibernate, he saw it as a hidden opportunity, a way to make people fall in love with winter. Additionally, the freezeway could be a sustainable mode of transportation and a way to attract tourists to Edmonton.
Gibbs envisioned people skating to work, to hockey games, or just for the fun of it, with plenty of venues along the way to grab a drink and socialize.
No mention as to whether his plan would include a Zamboni to clean the ice, or if the venues along the way would include a penalty box for aggressive skaters. This Week in Water is a production of H2O Radio and is sponsored by Colorado WaterWise. Learn more at coloradowaterwise.org.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Former U.S. Labor Secretary Robert Reich says the TPP trade deal would give corporations more power to challenge any public policy that reduces profits.
In other words, it's a Trojan horse in a global race to the bottom, giving big corporations from Wall Street banks a way to eliminate laws and regulations that get in the way of their profits. Right now, they're trying to get something called fast-track authority. So this massive giveaway can pass without any public review or power to amend. So we have to say loud and clear, no to fast track and no to the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
University of Chicago Medical Center nurses have authorized a strike as they continue talks on a new labor contract. The old contract expired in October. Nurse-to-patient staffing ratios and nurse rotation are both big issues. For nurses, rotation means being called off the normal shift to work different hours. National Nurses United wants to eliminate rotation altogether. The union says it causes sleep deprivation and is fundamentally unsafe. The union says little progress is being made in the talks between the 1,550 nurses and the University of Chicago Chicago Medical Center, no actual strike date has been set. New Mexico's State Senate Majority Leader Michael Sanchez says an anti-union bill passed by a committee in the GOP-controlled State House is anti-worker and anti-family. New Mexico's House was taken by Republicans in the last election for the first time in 60 years. The so-called right-to-work bill uses government to ban contractual agreements between unions and employers to automatically deduct union dues for all workers covered by collective bargaining agreements in union shops. These laws are designed to hurt unions economically. Anti-union laws known as right-to-work usually lead to fewer union members, but in Indiana, there are more union members. 2 years after that law was passed, unions added 50,000 members in Indiana despite the anti-union law. The union density in Indiana went from 9.3% before right-to-work to 10.7% after the law took effect.
This is Mitch Lawrence of the Sports Minute for Workers Independent News. So many things went wrong for Goodell in the NFL this season. The league and its commissioner endured so many self-inflicted wounds and scandals involving domestic abuse and sexual assault. It's really difficult to know where to start, but perhaps Goodell should start with the Ray Rice episode, which sent the league into a free fall last fall. Will he actually admit he botched the case? Our guess is no. As for the whole Patriots Deflategate scandal that surfaced after the AFC title game, Goodell will most likely pass, since the NFL is investigating who in fact took the air out of the Patriots footballs in their win over the Colts. But Goodell needs to explain why he thought it was a great idea to attend a pregame party at the home of the Patriots owner Robert Kraft. The two men are close, with Kraft being Goodell's biggest defender when the Rice scandal broke. Just from an appearance standpoint, it didn't look good for the commissioner to go to Kraft's home. That was the latest mistake in a season when, to use a football term, Roger Goodell had a few too many turnovers. With the Sports Minute for Workers Independent News, this is Mitch Lawrence.
You've been listening to WIND, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
And our next piece is a commentary from Money Matters on the paper currency debacle. Will it end badly? So just one moment.
The euro currency dropped to an 11-year low as the European Central Bank embarked on yet another round of quantitative easing, commonly known as money printing. The European Central Bank promised to print up about 60 billion euros a month to buy debt that apparently entities are having a hard time selling. This currency war is ongoing, and governments everywhere are dropping interest rates from their already historic low levels to go even lower in a bid to get their stalling economies going. They're also printing up a ton of money by utilizing these quantitative easing programs. The euro isn't the only currency falling like a stone. The Canadian dollar, the New Zealand dollar, the Aussie dollar, and Denmark's currency also fell last week. It seems like currencies worldwide are falling in value, except for the U.S. dollar and the Swiss franc. As foreign currencies drop, investors are scooping up U.S. dollars and Swiss currency in an attempt to park monies in something that is not losing value. With the Swiss eliminating the peg to the euro 2 weeks back, it pulled the rug yet again out from under the euro, and with it, other currencies fell as well. For American citizens, this means you can buy more stuff with your money, like food and obviously gasoline. Yet it spells bad news for U.S. companies that sell stuff overseas, as foreigners will need more of their currency to buy our U.S.-made goods. The main jest here is paper currencies are manipulated beyond measure nowadays by central banks everywhere, and it's getting awful hard to tell just what currency is safe. Investors did flock to gold and silver in a big way last week in a bid to hold something that cannot be conjured up by central bank minions everywhere. Only time will tell how this is all going to wash out, but the grandest of money printing schemes is now underway by governments everywhere, and I can comfortably say this type of massive disregard for the currency that people use to buy the things they need will no doubt end badly. The end result will be the lack of confidence by people to hold paper currencies of any nation, and historically that means people will start trading their dollars in for anything that is not a paper dollar, mainly anything that is tangible and real. This flight from paper currencies wholeheartedly is not upon us yet, but unless the central banks of the world stop the printing presses, the end game will be an ugly collapse in paper currencies everywhere, at least in those that are the most abused. It's looking like to this analyst that gold and silver is becoming more and more alluring as we look for something that can't be conjured up by the computer keys of madmen. And that does it for today's Money Matters. The views expressed are opinions only. They may not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or underwriters. You can hear more Money Matters at moneymanagementradio.com. My name is Mark Cuniberti, thanking you for listening to your community radio station.
Help KBOO Radio promote our upcoming membership drive, which begins on February 4th. Just go to the KBOO website, kboo.fm, and click on the blue banner to help us thunderclap our drive on social media. And be sure to tune in from February 4th to 14th for lots of special programs and gifts, including the first ever Bluegrass Marathon.
Wondering what to do for Valentine's Day? Sword fights, tap dancing, prizes, and a talent show are just a few of the exciting acts you'll see at this year's KBOO benefit, Contessa de la Luna's Valentine's Spectacular. Don't miss this annual event that is sure to delight and amaze your eyes and ears. Let La Contessa entertain you Thursday, February 12th, 2015, at the Clinton Street Theater. This is the perfect Valentine date night. Show starts at 7 p.m. That's Thursday, February 12th, 7 p.m., Clinton Street Theater. Tickets available now. Go to kboo.fm/talent show.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin & Company, PC, Certified Public Accountants, helping businesses, individuals, and nonprofit organizations make financial decisions based on their personal values since 1987. Wilkin & Company is located at 2435 Southwest 5th Avenue in Portland. Information at 503